Welcome to the Hyper Voice, episode 105. This is a show all about Pokemon's video game championship series. I'm your host, Steven Morioka, and I am here with Alex Underhill.
Hello.
Hey there, Alex. How's everything going?
Oh, I'm excited. I am ready to talk about, about all kinds of Players Cup 2 stuff. Oh, man, this is going to be a funny one.
Oh, yes, it will be. Very excited to talk about that. Everyone, if you haven't heard yet, that is the big news coming out of the past week or so, is the big announcement of the Pokemon Players Cup 2. We're going to get all into that for this show a little bit later on here. First off, we just want to point out that this is going to be our Season 3 finale of the Hyper Voice, and we're going to go over our guest list, acknowledge everyone who's helped us throughout this roughly past year here, and we're kind of figuring out when to change seasons on the show, mainly because we usually just do this after Worlds, right? We kind of have the World Championships, we do a wrap-up of that event, finish out the season, and then move on to what the next season would be. And this year, after the first Players' Cup, we didn't really know what was going to happen afterwards, so we just kept it going. And now we're here for the Season 3 finale, and Alex will be quick to remind everybody that the season change on the show pretty much means nothing to you on the listener. It just helps us out.
Yeah. I still don't even know what this is about, but you know, we're wrapping up Season 3. We're going to talk about all the guests that we had in these this chunk of episodes here, episodes 59 through this one, 105 being the last one here. And then, yeah, it really won't affect you guys, but it's just kind of helps us keep track of where we are with regards to like the VGC season.
That's right. And before we start talking about Pokemon Players Cup 2 and what essentially is the next phase of our competitive formats here, we are going to acknowledge everybody who we've had on within this past little over a year. And in alphabetical order by first name, hard to believe we haven't heard from these people for a while now, but it's been within the last year. So in Season 3 of the show, we just like to thank Aaron Traylor, Abe Brath, Adam Doricott, Adi Subramanian, Alessio Yuri Boschetto, Alyssa Smith, Andrew Burley, Eshin Cox, Calvin Chan, Chucky Hornstein, Alisa aka Salami, Enosh Shahar, Gabby Snyder, Jeremy Odina, John Hu, Justin Burns, Justin Ramirez, Kimo Nishimura, Mike Wojtala, Nick McCord, Raghav Malavia, Rajan Ball, Randy Kwa, Samuel Harsma, Santino Tarquinio, Tola Webb, and Travis Standiford. I gotta say, that was a struggle trying to pronunciate all that.
Especially without them here to help correct you or run through it before there's no practice run here.
Nope.
And I just wanted to let everybody know that since we are now transitioning to Series 4, we've got a little surprise for you guys. We are going to be banning the most used guests. So I have pulled up the usage stats from just the show overall, and the following guests will be banned on the show for all of Season 4. You will not be hearing from them.
Who are they?
That is Justin Burns. Tired of that, so you guys will not be hearing from him anymore, which I'm sure a lot of people are sick of that. John Hu, Aaron Traylor, Ashton Cox, Chris Danzo, Adi Subramanian, Calvin Chan, Gavin Michaels, Justin Krubaugh, Kamal Harris, Matt Swanson, Randy Kwa, and Tommy Kuhlin. A lot of people were tied at two appearances on the show. So the top 13 guests will no longer be on the show for the coming season. This is definitely a guarantee. You know, you can trust me. They will no longer be on the show in Season 4. Yeah.
That is very fitting. You can also add Gabby Snyder onto that list because I haven't updated that since our 100th episode. But,
oh, true. Yeah. Oh, Gabby, you're banned too.
Too bad. Well, I think that's really funny. I actually like that a lot.
It's all right. We're going to spoilers for people that don't listen past this section or don't put two and two together, but we're going to revert that later because of a mistake. So we'll be going back on this just so that nobody takes this too seriously. Let's go ahead and talk about Players Cup 2 since
that is
we'll
correct
much
that
topic.
In 2 weeks.
No, we're correcting it like the next day.
Got it. So everyone, the Pokemon Players Cup 2 was announced. For us, it was in the middle of the night, and I happened to be awake during that time, so I got to see all the information, you know, fresh off the press. And let's start off by just by breaking down the this second addition to the Players Cup. So anyone who has been around or played in the first Players Cup knows is pretty familiar with it, right? So there's going to be a lot of similar things you're going to see here. So I'm just going to break down this beginning stuff, and then we can talk about some of the portions here. And again, the second Players Cup is going to be Masters Division only. It's going to be following three different stages of the tournament, much like the first Players Cup. There's a pre-qualifier, which is another online competition, which will be running at the end of September. That is going to be 25th through the 27th. The next stage is going to be regional qualifiers in November. That is, again, just another double elimination bracket being held over 2 days. And the global finals, so I guess new name for the Players Cup finals, will be in December, December 5th, another new double elimination bracket. And the prizes remain the same. The top four from that tournament earn travel awards to a future international championship of your choosing. So, Alex, why don't we start off with the pre-qualifier portion and get to some of those things there. And one new thing is that the top 256 players from North America, Latin America, and Europe, well, that's not new, those advance to the regional qualifiers from that online competition, and 128 from Oceania. Again, we've been over the kind of numbers in the player base there. And the, I guess, notable change there is that they get four slots now instead of three. No kickoff invitational this time around.
Yeah. Something else small here, and I'm just going to ask you, this is almost like a personal question, doesn't really need to be on the show, but we're going to have it on here anyway. Has it always listed Latin America as Latin America and Caribbean? I feel like that's new. Like, I'm seeing the Latin America, like, it says the North America rating zone, which is U.S. and Canada, and then there's Europe rating zone, which is just Europe, and then the Latin America rating zone is listed as Latin America and Caribbean. And I don't know, I've never seen them dub it that. Does that seem new to you?
It might? I'm not sure.
I'm curious. It's not nothing too important, but let's go ahead and get over off my sidetrack here. And so I guess it is important to note the lack of an invitational here, a kickoff invitational for top players to kind of be showcased like they did in the first one. And they decided that Oceania was now deserving of their fourth spot that they took away the first time. I don't want any of the Oceania players listening to this to get angry at me, but it's a hard sell to say that they deserve that fourth spot, no offense, just because of the lack of representation in the first one. I think a large part of that is because of the regions that they cut out, especially after the fact. They did that too late. I remember having like some friends from like the Malaysia region that were no longer able to play despite being well within the qualifying margins, I guess. I'm just curious. Like, they've got 128 players. Four will be able to qualify. I'm sure there are, will be four deserving players to come out of the region. But remember last time, the 128 players that qualified, you could have just played a game and lost it and had enough points to qualify or something like that. Because I remember there was like 1499s that qualified for the Players' Cup in Oceania. I'm curious if we'll see more players come out this time, if we'll see a like increase or decrease, just kind of across the board, but also specifically for that Oceania region. They've got one more spot in the global finals now for them, which is, I guess, nice. But again, the total participation from that region is definitely lacking.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of happy we don't have the kickoff invitation list go around. It kind of makes sense since they were introducing the Players Cup to everybody around the world. You know, even Yuri himself said there's nothing fair about that entire tournament, and he was the winner of it. So, you know, Oceania gets their four slots just to match everyone else within the rest of the regions being focused on here. And, you know, this time around, only 2 days of regional qualifiers. So instead of three, we're playing on two weekends instead. And, you know, that first day is going to be pretty grueling because it's going all the way up to a top 16.
Yeah, so this is a change that I am a fan of. However, something that I remember hearing from a friend, I'm going to credit Adi with this. He was the one that had told me. But I think if you lose the first round and win out, you have to win 9 games straight or something to make it to that top 16.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever the first day ends at. So that's going to be a lot of rounds to run on the first day, because it's not necessarily less just because, like, you know, those players that get eliminated in the players that drop to losers after the first round, the same number of rounds will happen throughout the tournament, no matter how players get there. And so the point I'm making is that it's going to be a long day one.
Oh yeah. And, I feel like maybe part of the reason they're kind of smashing it all together in one day is it's easier for the staff to kind of handle all this, because they're kind of working 24, maybe even longer than 24 hours, you know?
Something else just to, like, kind of speculate on is, you know, what will there be an increase in attendance overall? Are people more or less interested in this? I guess that's something to cover later when we talk about the format and the whole controversy behind that. But something that I'm just kind of wondering about, like, you know, will that number to qualify move up or down per region? You know, I already kind of slammed down Oceania here with their sub 1500 qualifying rating. North America was like 1640 in this in Players Cup 1, and like I think Europe was 1680 or something like that. I'm wondering if those numbers are going to shift at all, or what have you. I think I finished around 1720 in the first Players Cup. So, like, me personally, no matter what we're doing in this format, and this is just going to sound kind of cocky and arrogant, but I'm not too worried about this stage. And I think that, from what I've talked to, most experienced players are not too worried about the qualifier stage after, you know, knowing what it was like in Players Cup 1. Going into Players Cup 1, the IC was so stressful. Everybody was stressing out, like, you know, is this good enough rating? I need to play more games. Don't play more games. That's way too many. You're definitely safe. You don't want to mess this up. And, like, yeah, I just remember constant, like, friendly but arguing about it. Just like, you know, no, it's definitely going to be higher. Or that's way too high. It's going to be lower. And just so many people stressing about what's going to be enough. I think now with a, you know, a Players Cup under our belt, a tournament to base this off of, I think generally it's going to shift the bar up, just because a lot of people are going to park around what they think is safe, and it's going to end up getting some people screwed. But also, it's going to help a lot of people that were well into the qualifying range to just know when to quit.
Yeah, and this entire online competition in the beginning was advertised as being open globally to everyone around the world, not just the 4 rating zones involved in the Players Cup. And much like the first one, that's same deal. Like, everyone was allowed in that May online competition, that international challenge. So, you know, me personally, like, I was somewhere around 1620, and I actually did not play all 45 of my games. I don't remember the number I played, but I know I had a good number still remaining, and I was honestly just afraid to lose more. So I just settled it there, and it wasn't good enough. So I kind of barely missed out on the, on the bubble there, essentially.
So let me ask you, Steven, like, when you were at 1620, did you think you were close, or did you think that it was leagues away?
I honestly thought it was going to be pretty far. Like, I was just like, you know what? I don't want to risk anymore. Like, if I get in, fine. If not, I don't have a problem with it. And I honestly did kind of think that rating was far away, because I thought people would be gunning for high, like, 1700s, and the low end would be, like, 1680, like Europe had.
Yeah, that's something that I think I kind of expected the same for, just because of, like, past experiences with online competitions, with these ICs. You know, we always see the winner of the IC as, like, something in, like, the 1800s, like, maybe even, like, 1830, or as high as 1830 in past years or something like that. And I just, you know, with those, like, high, high numbers, I expected there to be a lot more people up there, but I didn't consider that it has to be, you know, 256 from the same region, also from the, 256 from the same region also have to be opted in Not that there's like a ton of people that I imagine are playing and are not opted in, but there's got to be some. There's got to be some like low-key VGC pros that just don't even sign up for like official competitions or anything like that. They're just loving the in-game ladder. So
I'm with you there.
That's just kind of funny to imagine, but like, you know, they're, those people do exist. They're just the silent warriors. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this shakes up a second time around, just because with all this, like, you know, existing information on a tournament that is just like it. Before, it was a brand new thing, but now we have a much better idea of what it's going to be like going into it.
Absolutely. And for reference, the first international challenge in May that was used to qualify for the first Players Cup had 73,281 participants in total. That number comes from Pokemon Home's battle data.
Now let's start talking format. I'm gonna kick us right into the meat of the discussion here, Steven. But
okay,
we're gonna go back to talk about Players Cup 1 format first, because that just kind of gives us a basis as well as a timeline. Because I think we should talk about Players Cup 2. I'm just jumping all over the place here. We didn't mention the dates for the regional qualifier, did we?
November? Wait, this Players Cup 2, right?
Yeah, we haven't. I don't know if we mentioned them out loud here yet, or maybe I just missed it and just wasn't listening to you. But anyway, the dates for the regional qualifier, you know, when you're playing against the players of your region, will be November 7th and November 14th. Like Steven had already kind of said, and we already talked about, it is 2 days instead of, or two weekends. I believe it's also just going to be 2 days, you know, but on two different weekends, instead of three this time. And yeah, it's in November when the qualifier is in September. Now let's wind ourselves back to Players Cup 1. The qualifier, the May IC, the very first stage was, of course, in May. Do you remember the time of the week that was?
Yeah,
or the time of the month.
End of May. So it was still
the 22nd, or it was the 22nd weekend. I'm looking back at May here.
Whatever that last weekend was. So
there was a 29th. Here. Would you say it was the 29th, 30, 31st, or was it the 22, 23, 24?
I think it was 22, 23, 24. So
that would be my guess.
That's like right in the middle of what started Series 4 there.
And very comparable to what we're looking at now for this, you know, I guess it's going to be the last weekend in September, but pretty close,
yes,
like
yes.
Ballpark, the 25th versus the 22nd, pretty comparable. And so then the next stage for Players Cup 1 was July, the beginning of July. I believe it was July 9th. I remember thinking about that date a lot. Maybe the July 10th. Yeah,
10th sounds right.
So July 10th, so that was a full month off with and change, you know, maybe even two more weeks in there. But all of June, there was no official Pokemon. And so that's kind of what we're seeing again here. It seems weird. When it was announced, I was like, really? But I had to remember that back in Players Cup 1, all of June was just testing and practicing and just getting yourselves ready for this next stage that we had known some stuff about, but still so little just because it's nothing we've ever experienced before. But of course, October this time will be a completely dead month in terms of official Players Cup tournament or action or anything like that. There's no kickoff invitation. I guess that's something we had in June, isn't it?
Yeah, that as well as like all the announcements about Isle of Armor and the Isle of Armor coming out. So,
True.
I've seen a lot of speculation about Crown Tundra coming in October. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm still a strong believer in November, but you just never know.
I'm Team October now, and we'll get to talking about that Crown Tundra speculation a little bit later here, definitely. But yeah, this month of October, with the information we have now, is completely empty. There's nothing in October that we know about. No kickoff invitational. They would have announced that by now, and no confirmed DLC drop or anything like that. So just a completely dead month in October, and then November we do the competition, and then I don't think we have any kind of dates on the last stage. I don't even think they did actually. The global finals will be played on December 5th at a time to be determined and sent to finalists via email. So once again, that's almost like the wording there is kind of confirming again that none of this will be live. I don't think we have a stream schedule or anything yet for this. Yeah, we don't have a stream schedule or anything for Players Cup 2. But just like Players Cup 1, none of these battles are going to be played live for any audience. They are going to be played and recorded and then sent to Pokemon, however players did it. We'd have to ask somebody who actually sent in their battles what that process was like.
Yeah.
I could always ask, I think, like, Adi. I think Adi had a battle on the stream. I can't remember.
Either way, like, about the streams is that any way you look at it, like, there's something that's just so unappealing about watching a pre-recorded match and versus like that action happening live. Like, it's the first time everyone gets to witness and see what happened, but there's just something that I don't know. It's really it's a big turnoff.
So I'm in the same boat, and something that I like to break it down for me personally. I'm not like a huge person for the like face cams and stuff like that in content and videos, but it is fun to see live when you're at like a tournament or something, or watching it at home, and you see the player gets the play right, or they get the rock slide flinch that they needed, and they pop off, and you see these reactions, and when you're actually there at tournaments when there's not a disease going on or a pandemic going on around the world, when you're like at these tournaments live and the crowd goes wild. It's a lot different. Like, Twitch chat is fun, but when the matches are pre-recorded, things get leaked. I personally didn't get spoiled on anything, but I do know that, like, all of the results of Players Cup 1 got, like, leaked. And, it's way different when you're not watching these things happen for the first time. I personally find it very hard to go back and watch a regional, like the VODs on Twitch or anything like that, when I know the winner. You know, like, I love watching a match that's undetermined. I know that, even going a little bit too specific, but for Players Cup 1, there was like a screenshot that they used to plug the stream or something like that, and it was a screenshot from like winners finals, and it was like, oh cool, so that tells us how like half the bracket shakes out.
Exactly. It wasn't even players who leaked this information. It could have been, but it wasn't. It was TPCI themselves who did it.
They just had to use, like, that was the screenshot that they wanted to use. Just, like, I don't know, invalidates, like, a good portion of the bracket of their... I'm just a person that, like, does not enjoy games with spoilers. I like there to be that tension. I don't want to know who's going to win. Because if I do know who's going to win, I'm just going to be like, well, I know what the move that's going to happen this turn is, because, like, they're going to get it right somehow. You know, they're going to get things to go their way. Just it being pre-recorded is just a little bit of a bummer. There's not a great way around it since we don't have any kind of spectator mode or stream mode. Please give us some kind of spectator mode. It would be great. I don't imagine we will, but yeah, that's the kind of the end of my rant there, but like, it's not something that can be fixed, but it is something that is just the nature of Players Cup.
True, and just the nature of not having spectator mode right now. You know, there's also the issue, I guess, on the organizational side that they are may be concerned with, like, any communication errors. They don't want to see that displayed on stream. So all those things kind of get worked out behind the scenes in the pre-recorded way. And, the live audience doesn't get to witness any of that. So one of those things is just, like, you know, you don't want matches determined in a strange way, or like the honor rule or something that we talked about, but
no, they had the honor rule.
Yeah, I know, they had that, but like, people don't want to be like, see a communication error and then find out, oh, so they did that, and then this is the winner now. It's all just very weird. It's all awkward.
I know that a lot of like more casual fans would not really kind of pick up on that and understand like the board state. They want to see the game played out, especially if they don't know the winner. That, you know, especially like, there's going to be games that are not as apparent to inexperienced players, and so they want to see it happen. And just being told, oh, this guy would have won anyway, it's just like, well, how? I don't know how.
Right. I mean, we're just kind of being pretty nitpicky about the stream stuff and with our game, of course, but it's still manageable. Like, we can still manage to have a tournament like this.
we've got completely sidetracked from the formats. That was more so laying out the stream aspect as well as the timeline, because as I had said here, it was in December, and in Players Cup 1, it was in August, so that was just a month later. It was at the beginning, it was like early-ish August, and this was, or was it early-ish August? It was like mid-August? Yeah, it says it was played early August, streamed mid to late August. And this will also be played early December, likely streamed mid to late December. So, very similar timelines between the two Players' Cups here. Just, you know, the middle stage is not going to be run over as many weekends. That's really the main thing, timeline-wise, that is different. Now, let's talk about the formats, though. Bringing us back to Players' Cup 1, the May IC was in Series 4. Series 4, without the hidden abilities for the Galarian starters, there was, I don't know, I'm trying to think what the meta was like at that point. There was, like, Triple Ghost. I used Lapras, Lapras stuff in the Players' Cup qualifier in May.
I mean, like, Primarina was on the rise. There was,
the Primarina Dusclops Ferrothorn Arcanine Dragapult core. That, I know that's like five Pokemon, but like it was just kind of a bulky-ish, like Firewater Grass Dusclops kind of style of team. No, that's like the kickoff invitational, which was Series 4, but it had those Galar starters. I'm just trying to remember. But anyway, Series 4. Hopefully you guys remember what that format was like. Then the DLC comes out and completely shakes things up. We only have a couple of weeks to figure everything out for Players' Cup. You need to make sure you have everything ready in game, everything's tested against what you think the metagame is going to be like, and I believe the ladder for Series 5 started the first day of July.
Yep, that's right.
So if you wanted to start testing your things not on Showdown in game, you could go there once July started, and that was like, I guess, what was the DLC release, June 15th?
That sounds right.
Somewhere around there. So, like, you know, you had like 2-ish weeks to play through the DLC and get a team ready if you wanted to be ready for ladder practice right away. But of course, Showdown had things up a little bit sooner than that if you wanted to practice there. And yeah, then the Players Cup 2 was, of course, or Players Cup Stage 2, that July regional qualifier stage was Series 5, which had the new DLC Pokemon, as well as the tutor moves and the Galar hidden ability starters and that stuff. Like, and then we ended up playing that same format for the August stage, the finals, or what will be known now going forward as the global finals.
Yeah, and all that all makes sense, right? Your July and August were in Series 5, and both those tournaments were in Series 5. No problem.
Yeah. And so, starting us up here is when I'm going to finally break down the controversy for those who haven't already heard of it. I'm sure a lot of people that follow VGC anything have heard about this, just because a lot of people were buzzing about it. Just open up Twitter if you have one. And so, the announcement, you know, like Steven had mentioned, it was dropped in the middle of the night, and it had said, the following Pokemon will be banned, and it's that ban list that we've been seeing for Series 6, and it said the tournament will be run in Series 6. However, the announcement was not like official on any, you know, of the Pokemon pages. It was just through the in-game, it's not Global Link, but I guess just like, you know, in-game tournament system, whatever you want to call it. And so they had the description there, as well as, I guess, on the, was it on the Pokemon website for tournaments? Whatever, it's not Global Link. Is it still Global Link?
It's not Global Link. There's a news announcement from Pokemon Home. It came out the Pokemon channel news on your Switch. So, you know your news feed, when you first open up your Switch, you go to the bottom, there's that little button you can click. It was in there. And then later on during the daytime, Pokemon put up an article about Pokemon Players Cup 2, which also said Series 6.
And this was all saying Series 6 with the ban list that we're all familiar with now, like the Dragapult, the Cinderace, Togekiss, get rid of them all. But the end game was Series 5, and a lot of people were registering for it, and there's been a lot of speculation. I guess I'll talk about that afterwards, but they eventually come to announce on the official Play Pokemon page and other pages that it was a mistake, and the tournament will be run in Series 5. And I'm on the side that's with all these speculators that they messed up. And the mistake was not that they meant for it to be in Series 5 and typed up the wrong stuff. I'm more so in the boat that they created the tournament in Series 5, but wrote up stuff for Series 6, but couldn't cancel or delete that tournament and redo it, so they just had to roll with Series 5.
My question is just, like, why not? What's so hard about, like, just removing that tournament and then resetting another one or changing the rules of Series 6? It's so confusing to me.
It really should be something that can be fixed. And, like, the only small argument I've heard, and I'm not trying to make this argument invalid, but, like, people have said that, I guess for people that, like, signed up and then didn't think to sign up again, it would be cruel for them to miss it, you know? But that's where, like, Pokemon has to kind of own up to their mistake and kind of, like, contact all these people, whether it's an in-game notification or it's a email to, like, all the people that have, like, emails or something. You know, contact them some way and say, the tournament... Or, like, could they just take the registrations and transfer them over? Why can't they change the tournament? I don't know. Like, if somebody signed up for a Series 5 tournament, and they're just, like, a casual person that doesn't keep up with all this stuff, and then they go to the tournament and it says it's Series 6, would it be so hard for them to say, ah, I don't want to play Series 6, or, like, I don't have a Series 6 team, I guess I'm just gonna move on, you know? Like, I don't know. It just seems so strange that this couldn't be reverted.
Right, and, like, whatever technological issues they faced, you know, I wish they could have changed it. You know, registration was in Series 5, so those people who registered, you know, you're playing that format. You could have spammed their emails, like you said. You could have kept tweeting about it. You could have put more articles up, correcting, like, checking, telling people, you know, make sure you re-register for this new tournament that uses using the correct format. But they did not do that. They just changed the news to say, oh, you're playing Series 5. The big issue here is not actually Series 5 in total. Like, to be honest, like, Series 5 is fine as a format. It's, I don't have a problem with the format. I do have a problem, though, with not having Series 5 on the in-game ladder right now. It is currently Series 6. And that's the big issue that a lot of people are upset about. So I saw a lot of the responses to that Play Pokemon tweet from that Twitter account as people were very confused and they were very discouraged and upset by this news. And understandably, right? Like, you know, if you don't count Showdown, which by Pokemon's terms doesn't really exist, there's not a real way to practice on a ladder right now, which is can be pretty, pretty frustrating. So honestly, if this were just Series 6, nobody would have batted an eye. Like, people would have just, okay, that's the ladder rules right now, that's what we're using, cool, no problem. But here we are with this controversy and this big discrepancy in the beginning, and, you know, it's kind of weird. Like, I'm still gonna play in this and try to do well, but, you know, this will be remembered as, you know, another kind of mess up, a mistake. You know, it's, again, in the beginning, making a lot of people upset early on, so... we're not off to a good start.
Series 6 is just not canon, and this is why I should never have played it. And I have to say, Steven, it was the thing that kicked me into gear. Talking Showdown, when the announcement came, they did not correct it, but there was, like, lots of speculation because the mix-up. But they did not do this official announcement saying, oh yeah, it's going to be Series 5, until I think a full day later. Or something like that.
Yep.
Because overnight, during the late shift, like, it was just, like, late night, and I was doing some Series 6 laddering. I was like, all right, well, it's finally time to start. Let's use something fun. Let's just mess around and see what this format is about. And so I started playing some, and I had a pretty decent time. I was doing well enough in it and getting the hang of it, and I was like, this is actually going to be okay to play. Like, for those of you that have been listening to all of the episodes lately, I've been kind of just bagging on Series 6. I still think the concept is not a strong concept, just because, you know, there's singles bans, and, like, banning Pokemon by usage doesn't exactly fix the format. It was going to be something different and interesting. But when you lose all those, like, supporters, like Incineroar and Rillaboom and Follow Me Togekiss, not the the Crit Kiss, but, like, Follow Me Togekiss, when you lose those supporters, it just opens the way for, like, a lot of hyper offense, and I just am not a huge fan of that. But the format actually played all right. Like, it was playing okay. And I was having fun, and then the very next day, it was like, yeah, no, it's gonna be Series 5, and I was like, well, this is really demoralizing for a lot of people, myself included, just in terms of, like, practice. Like, I had mentioned earlier in the episode, I am not worried about qualifying for Players Cup 2, and this is just me speaking personally, like, because I'm an experienced player, and I was still going to spend time practicing for Series 6 because it was a new format I never played. I would need to have some familiarity. I would need to have a team that I'm comfortable with and know how to play, so I was going to practice. But if seeing as it's Series 5, a format that I have already grinded so much, it's a format there's already a decently established meta, and it's just for this one tournament, like, that I think is going to be easy enough to qualify through, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Like, we can just take what already works and just, you know, win enough games to qualify. It's not like we're looking to win a regional here, you know?
Yeah, totally. Like, this will be, when you think about it, this will be Series 5's last hurrah, most likely. We thought it was over already, but here it is at the Battle Online competition in September. So, last chance to go for it. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's almost like having the more Ultra Series after 2019 Worlds, except this time more Series 5 after the first Players Cup when we thought it was over. Funny.
Yeah, at least, like, good for Santino for, you know, people being able to play his team in one more official tournament. Like, I guess that's something that was, like, a little bit different about 2018, the year that Paul Ruiz won, is, like, his team went on to do nothing for the metagame. It was, of course, the peak of the metagame that year, and it just never had an effect on 2018 after the fact, besides, you know, non-canon stuff like NPA or online for fun tournaments, you know?
Right. It did nothing because it couldn't.
Yeah, they killed 2018 right then and there, but, you know, Santino's team will be something that you might want to use. Some people will be using it. Some people are going to want to counter it for the IC coming up. This is an IC, right? It's still called that.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, I don't know. I think they call it the Battle Online Competition. It has nothing to do with an international challenge or anything. But along your lines with Colossal, everybody, make sure you have an answer for that. Some way to play it. Have a game plan. Like, you're gonna need it for this one.
Yeah, or just use it.
That too, honestly. Like, I think something that really cool, just to shout out, is the logo for the actual tournament itself, Players Cup 2, is they put on G-Max Urshifu and Colossal as, like, the mascots for it. And it's like, oh, that was Santino who just won with these Pokemon. Isn't that cool?
Now, I don't think I'm selling myself out too much here. That's, like, kind of the wrong word I'm looking for, but, like, revealing myself. But when I did end up playing some Series 6, I was messing around with some Colossal stuff. And I had, what was it? I had three. No, I mean, I guess it was a full team of six, of course. It was six Pokemon in Series 6 that were, of course, still legal in Series 5. That makes a lot of sense. All this should be reverse compatible. That's a really dumb thing to say. Ignore me.
Oh my God.
But what I'm trying to say is that I took three of the Pokemon that were on the Series 6 team and just remade it in Series 5, but of course with the big guns, just slapped on, like, you know, an Incineroar and a Rillaboom.
Yeah.
Brought back the good Pokemon. That's what I've been having fun with, is just using a Cole team that's pretty similar to Santino's, but, like, yeah, like, I just took a Series 6 Cole team and just brought it back, and that's what I've been enjoying. I do think that if this tournament were more important, if this was, like, you know, a regional level, and we actually needed to develop the metagame to the point that somebody was going to be an ultimate winner, and you needed to actually have, like, a metagame call, it would be really interesting to note the impact of Series 6 on the metagame. Do you get what I'm trying to say, Steven? Because, like, Series 6 had to open up people's eyes to some new Pokemon, just because the top ones were gone, And some of those Pokemon could definitely still shine in Series 5, and maybe people would bring them back. Maybe more people would be interested in using them because of how much they liked them in Series 6. Like, that was what happened with me and Colossal. Colossal was, and like, all these Pokemon in Series 6 are still legal in Series 5. So I was like, oh, I'm liking Cole in Series 6. You know what? Let's give Cole another shot in Series 5. Let's do that. And I think that might be the case for some people in this IC. It's just not going to have as big of an impact considering how little of a, I don't know, like how little the metagame matters here. Of course the metagame matters, but it's not the level of a regional where you need to be the ultimate winner. You just need to be able to reach top 256 or 128 in your region, which is not comparable in any stretch. It is still difficult, but just not comparable.
No. And I see what you're saying there. Another thing is just like anyone who's put in effort within the first, what was it, maybe 11 days of Series 6, you also consider like we had the women's tournament, which we talked about. All those people who played in that, practiced for it, did well in it, like all that feels worthless now. And that's really insulting to them.
Yeah, no, it was going to be really cool for the women's tour to be the driving force for this coming metagame. And then, no, because of this mistake. I don't think they intended for this to be in Series 5. And with how much backlash there's been, like, it was a clear move to make it Series 6. Like, that's what they've been doing this year, is, like, shaking things up constantly. And while I definitely think that has negative impacts, like metagame development is almost non-existent. It is just like, all right, here's what did well at the first tournament or the first stage, and you get to adapt to that once, and then we're going to be playing a brand new format with brand new stuff. I do miss the old days of like a metagame that developed over the course of a year. Like a great example is like looking at 2017. Just thinking about 2017, all the stuff that was possible on day one, but nobody knew about it or thought to use it yet, you know?
Right, like, exactly.
A lot of people, there's like popular memes going around right now with like a lot of references to like time travel or time machines and stuff like that. And, you know, somebody would be like, oh, bring Mimilax to London 1, like the, you know, the first tournament of the format. Like, that's what they would go back and time travel and tell their past self or something. It's like, yeah, that would have been cool. Like, you know, Mimilax was something that developed a little bit later, and it probably would have dominated the tournament because of how strong it is. Or like, you know, Salamence Metagross with the Bulldoze weakness policy before we had Dynamax. Funny to think. but like that strategy was something that developed much later, like in the spring almost, I think. And it was probably something that would have done well at the beginning of the format. And we just don't get to have stuff like that. This like time to uncover the like hidden technique, like not techniques, but hidden strategies, stuff that we just overlooked or haven't tried out yet, haven't experimented with. And like with a format that doesn't change all year, it still stays fresh because people are going to try to reinvent the wheel. They're going to try to beat what's popular with something unexpected. And we're just not going to get to have that.
Honestly, I just love this whole time travel topic and concept that I feel like we should bring back in the future. Just talk about like in a past format, right? And say like 2016, for example, as well. Like if you could go back to that year and knowing what you know now, travel back to the past, bring a team for that format. What would you bring? What would you use? And, you know, would you have won that tournament or whatever, you know? So, a very interesting concept.
Yeah, and, like, for 2016, man, that one's already written itself. Like, Wolf did kind of make, like, the best team that year.
Exactly.
I will not try to take that from him. That team was killer. It's still one of the most impressive teams I've ever seen made. And, yeah, you could just take that team to any tournament in the year, and you'd probably have a pretty dominant performance.
I think so.
Considering there was nothing like that beforehand. Not to kill that whole topic before it even starts, but yeah, that is kind of just something fun to think about, and just something we don't get to have with these like very short-lived metagames. This is something that I've had talked amongst friends with, and just it is great to keep it fresh, but it's almost a little too fresh to the point that we don't get to play with our toys long enough for us to, you know, experiment all the different ways we can use them.
Yeah. So just to kind of close out the series discussion here of what we're using. It's September 2020. We're in Series 6 on the ladder. The online competition is not in Series 6. It is Series 5, most likely from a mistake from the Pokemon Company International. And, you know, that's the way it's going to run. It doesn't seem like they're rolling back on that. So Series 5 it is. Just remember, this is the last time to probably use Series 5 here. It's only 3 days worth of playing Series 5. So people, if you want to play in the Players' Cup on the regional qualifiers, just bear with it. Go through it. Series 5 is fine, right? When you think about it, Series 5 is VGC 2020's most complete form, right? It has all the G-Max Pokemon available in it, and all the Pokemon from both the Galar and Isle of Armor Pokedexes. So, there you have it. We're playing Series 5 for the online competition. I wish it was Series 6, though, but let's move on to some other things here. Now, in the first Players Cup, we had there's an issue in Canada about Quebec, and they were not allowed. Players from that region were not allowed in the Players Cup. And I'm wondering, do you happen to know if that has changed this go-around?
So I put that in the notes here because I remember hearing, I remember seeing a joke tweet, and I'm just going to credit whoever tweeted it. I don't know who tweeted it, but like I just remember, like, I'm just crediting Twitter for this one because it was not something that I had come up with. But they had said, like, Players Cup 2 patch notes, and then it was like, you know, now added fighters from Quebec, kind of just like referencing like fighting game patch notes or something like that.
Yep.
And I saw that and I was like, huh, like, did they actually add Quebec or not? And then I'm looking down here at the bottom of the page, the Players Cup 2 eligibility, and it only lists the people that will not be eligible, which of course is seniors and juniors, players who are outside of the rating zone. So you know, for example, my friend from Malaysia that I had mentioned earlier is no longer part of Malaysia, is no longer part of the Oceania region, as it mentions up here in the subtext. The Oceania rating zone comprises only Australia and New Zealand, so that change did not get reverted in any sense. And I remember there being a stipulation in here about Quebec, but there's nothing in here about Quebec, so I'm imagining that Quebec is allowed to play now. One of the players that I can think of most prominently that I know of is Jean-Marc. Jean-Marc, I believe, is from Quebec and was tweeting about the subject a bit. So I'd have to check maybe their Twitter, or recommend looking over there to see if they're allowed to play this time around. But there's nothing in this eligibility section that says they can't. So I imagine Quebec will be allowed this time around, which is great for them. Good that we're like allowing more people into the cup. You know, at the very least, we could throw them in the Oceania rating zone to maybe bloat it up more. You know, why don't we do that? They could use the participants. Jokes aside, though, it is good to see another region being allowed to play.
Yeah, I don't know what the issue was before the first time. I know, like, Asia Pacific, what that region is now being called, all the rest of Asia there, we did not have that information before the competition. People know now not to bother with this, unless they just want to play for fun, you know. It's glad, you know, get more inclusion here. I don't know why they excluded Quebec in the first place, but, you know, still something I would have liked to see for their Players' Cup, too, is the inclusion of all regions. You know, we don't have any Japan, South Korea, Asia Pacific, like Russia, South Africa, for this tournament. You know, the most we'll get to see with them is on the online competition, and that'll be it. So, just in your practice and for that tournament, but otherwise, like, nothing within the actual bracket. So, would like to see that.
Something else worth mentioning is that we have not gotten all of the information on Players' Cup. We're still waiting to find out what the later stages are going to be. We haven't gotten information on stream. We haven't gotten information even on the prizing for the tournament. You know, we don't even know what this is all for. Last time, I believe it was advertised at the top that it was going to be a travel award gifted to the winner. And there was enough outcry that they said, okay, I guess we can do top four. Did we ever cover? There was nothing more for first place, right?
I don't think so. I don't even know if Santino gets an extra trophy or something for winning. I have no idea.
I might have to reach out to him or like ask around at some point, because I can't even remember if anything was more was given to the player that finished second, the player that finished first. I believe third and fourth were not tied because of the sake of it being a double elimination tournament. So I believe there is a third and a fourth place. So like, do they get anything different, or are they just treated as top four? Who knows? It's definitely weird to think about because they didn't say anything about it officially.
No, it does seem like it's the same thing. Like, they have it for both trading card game and video game, that top four players in global finals receive a travel award for a future international of their choosing.
Wait, is it listed in here?
Yeah, it is on Pokemon's website already. If you go to the event info section of Players Cup 2 and scroll down, it's there. So it looks like very similar prizing to the first one.
Okay, so it is the same prizing this time around, which is like fine. I think it's going to be interesting, just considering that they're giving out even more travel awards to tournaments that we have no idea when they will exist again.
Exactly.
They're fine prizes. Like, definitely. Actually, I'm going to take that back. They are not fine prizes.
They're kind of useless right now. Like, you have no idea.
No. What I'm saying is that, like, remember when we had Sam Harsma on the show? His words really do stick with me. It's a long, long time coming to get your final prize for this tournament. And don't get me wrong, it's still a pretty cool prize to win, and the joy of victory alone would be enough to motivate somebody to win this tournament. But man, to think of how many weekends you have to spend, how much time you have to dedicate to this thing just to get a travel award when, I don't know, it was a lot less for a regional. You could dedicate a lot less time to a regional and get the same, if not more. So,
this is true.
I wish the prizes trickled down a little bit more, is I think what I'm trying to get at, or something. I don't know. It is... I'm not complaining because it at least gives us something to do in this time of quarantine when there's no official tournaments to play in, and this is definitely a fine thing to have as a placeholder to hold us over until we do get to go back to real tournaments.
Yeah, speaking of the no argument there. You know, I agree with you. What was I going to say here? But speaking of the future and internationals in the future, we just don't know when that's going to happen. One thing I do want to note and kind of just bring up this topic is that there is no Pokken Tournament DX in this tournament. They specifically did not include those players. So RIP, sorry to you if you play Pokken Tournament. And they did mention that the Pokken tournaments will be returning to early 2021. And that is a tentative. Now, you know, we can already tell by Players Cup 2 that Pokemon's committing to, you know, this online event structure through the rest of the year. And if Pokken Tournament DX is going to be returning in early 2021 to Players Cup events, that means we may have these for a long time still, which makes sense given the current world state. Now, I got a question for you. Do you think we're going to have Worlds next year?
Worlds next year? I think that is kind of interesting to bring up, just because when this had all started and they had started canceling all the events, they had mentioned the points will roll over. And I don't think anybody had a... I don't want to say anybody, but a large portion of the world didn't have any idea what we were getting into back in March. A lot of people were saying this was going to be over by the end of the summer. I think I was even one of those people. I was definitely wrong. But I, of course, have no experience with pandemics, so this is not something that I understood. And I think that when Pokemon had put that system in place, they had assumed tournaments would be returning sooner than the calendar year of 2021, or even later than that, because really, I don't think we're on pace to get back anytime soon. So it would be weird to, I don't know. When we were thinking about what the bar was going to be back in March, Steven, like when we were talking about like, oh, what are they going to do for next year if they're going to roll these points over? Do they make the points like 500, you know, just 100 points over what it was currently because the points are, you know, rolling over? I almost think it's going to go down now if we do have a format or if we do have a Worlds next year. I feel like the bar is going to be lower, and then suddenly they're going to say, yeah, if you have already 200 points, you're going to be able to go, because there's not enough tournaments to earn your points, not enough time. Like, something to consider is that, you know, people can only dedicate so many weekends in a year to traveling for these tournaments. And just because they, you know, if they were to somehow fit 15 regionals in from like February to May or something like that, That wouldn't mean that everybody was going to be able to qualify like they normally would in a year full of 15 regionals spread out evenly, because, you know, there's barely even 15, I don't even think there's 15 weeks between those. That's almost 4 months, right? So the point I'm trying to get at is that I don't think we'll have a Worlds like we were expecting back in March next year. Like, if there's a bar, it's going to be dropped way lower. We would need to have, like, probably, like, testing to see if you're, like, healthy to go into the tournament or something like that. You know, like, I think that there's a good chance Worlds gets canceled for the coming year as well. And here's just hoping that we find some other way to get by online. Like, a Players' Cup is good, but I would love to have a circuit again. I know this works almost like a circuit, but I would love to have a full circuit again. That would be cool.
I don't want to be pessimistic. I'm just being practical here. I'm pretty confident saying right now that we're not going to have Worlds next year at all. You know, something interesting to note though is that the like president or something high up there of the International Olympic Committee said they're hosting the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, which were supposed to be this past summer, with or without COVID. And that's kind of weird to me, but they're probably going to go through with it, I'd imagine. And I just don't see Pokemon doing that kind of thing too. Like, if COVID's still around, they're not going to be putting putting players at risk just to play their Pokemon games at a World Championships. So that's not going to happen. So,
nor would I advise players put their lives at risk. So, like, it is not something that I know Steven was not proposing this either, but it's just something that I'm just going to say to people that we're getting the idea. We're not just waiting on Pokemon to say you can go back to tournaments. We're also kind of waiting for the world to be in the right place for us to go back to tournaments. We are definitely not in the right place. Even if Pokemon started saying, yeah, we have locals now and we're gonna have Worlds, you know, this coming year, and locals are gonna be throughout the fall like we're used to in regionals and stuff, I would not be going. We're not ready, especially here in America. So, you know, definitely wait until it is safe to be going out in, you know, crowded public spaces again, you know, with or without a mask. Yeah, and still keep washing your hands, of course. Whether this lasts for 5 years or five more months, you know, definitely keep washing your hands.
5 years. 5 years.
I'm just throwing out numbers. All right, man.
That's scary, dude.
But I'm not trying to scare anybody here, but what I'm trying to say is that, you know, don't be waiting for Pokemon to put up the tournaments. Just kind of like how, you know, football's starting back up and they're, like, allowing people to go to the stadiums. Like Steven had mentioned about the Olympics opening, whether or not COVID is still around, you know, that shouldn't be the bar that we're waiting for. We shouldn't be waiting for Pokemon to start tournaments up again. We should wait until people can feel safe going to tournaments again. And we're just not there yet, so no rush there. Hopefully we get some kind of alternatives to keep us motivated to think this is going to be the thing for the rest of the year. Like, Players Cup 2 is going to go till December, Steven. And, man, we're just about to get started with it in 2 weeks here. Like, is this really going to be enough to carry us through the year?
When you think about the potential for COVID to last maybe another year or 2 years, like, this could be the entire life cycle of Sword and Shield on the Switch. Think how sad that is.
That is sad, man. Bring us back to the 3DS era. Things were better then.
The golden era. One last thing I want to talk about here, we kind of, I guess, previewed this earlier in the show, is the Crown Tundra, right? It's fall, right? Oh, it's almost like meteorological fall. Wait, I don't know which. It's almost actual fall. We're still in the summer, technically. But,
22nd, maybe.
In the normal northern hemisphere. Let me correct that.
The normal hemisphere. Wow, you hear that, you southern hemisphere losers?
I meant north. The,
you weirdos below the equator.
The Crown Tundra, right? A lot of speculation. Is it October? Is it November? We do not know what format we are playing for the regional qualifiers in November yet. That has been kind of walked back by Pokemon. They're just saying whatever rules are online on the ladder at the time. So that is still undecided. And I feel like a big factor into what kind of a format this might be depends on when the Crown Tundra comes out.
It is almost entirely that. Like, we could be... So one thing that we do know, I guess not for sure, is that the final stage of the tournament, the global finals, the DLC should be out by then. I would imagine
yes.
It's out before December. However, with the tournaments being... with the regional qualifiers being just at the beginning of November, that's a really tough call to say. And it's something that Steven and I are on opposite ends of. I think that with the way that this thing is shaking out and just looking at Players Cup 1 as an example, I think we're going to get the DLC before the release of, or I guess before the regional qualifier stage in November. I think we're going to get it sometime in October. I think Series 7 will start October 1st. And I think that...
November 1st?
Or November 1st. And that we'll be playing that format for the later two stages. And Series 6 will just be the laughing joke of VGC 2020.
Okay, so you are in the October camp for Crown Tundra. I am still going to be in the November camp for Crown Tundra. Just because... That's what I feel. That's my feeling for it. I think Series 7 is going to be like an extension of the Series 6 bans. If the Crown Tundra comes out in November. Again, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I'm in the November camp. And we will not see Crown Tundra Pokemon in on the ladder until Series 8 in January. That's my call.
Dude, man, imagine if Series 7 was like Series 6, Series 6, Series 6 squared.
Oh, man.
They just banned 10 more. I guess, you know, the 10 top from singles and doubles again. And they just have this, like, VGC, I guess RU is the next stage. You know, we have VGC UU comparing things to Smogon. Now we have RU. And, yeah, just even lesser used Pokemon are now given a chance to shine.
Okay, I mean, I'm still in November camp. If I'm proven wrong, or if I am wrong, then of course we'll get to talk about that and everyone will get to bash me.
Yeah, I think that just with the way that everything's shaping up, it's going to be October. There was like a trailer leak recently. I did not watch the trailer leak. I just remember hearing news about a Crown Tundra trailer being leaked or something like that. Somebody accidentally posted it and then deleted it. Which just makes me think we're going to get news about it sometime soon. And I think we're going to get it for sometime in October. There's still plenty of time before October for them to get a trailer out and say, yeah, it's coming out within a month. They don't need to have a long lead-up time on this thing just because they've announced it forever ago. They showed what it's going to be about forever ago. So if they just, you know, come out and say, yeah, it's coming out in 2 weeks, I think that'd be fine. Like, it's not like we need to get ready for anything. It's not like there's anything else left to find out. At least majorly. Of course, we're still going to learn a lot when the DLC actually comes out, but we have the general premise. We know what Pokemon it's bring. We know it's going to be bringing like legendaries. We know that it's going to be the new like Galarian forms of the birds and Calyrex or whatever that thing's name is.
Some Galarian Slowking too.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one, man. Galarian Slowbro has been a fun time. I hope Galarian Slowking isn't just Galarian Slowking. I hope it's something
notable.
Yeah, like, you know, Slowking versus Slowbro is just like what, the defense and the special defense switched or something like that.
That's it.
I hope that, well, actually I think Slowbro Galar's attack stats are equal. I think they're both 100. They really did this mon wrong with the stat balance they gave it. Let me check here before. Just let me finish this tangent, Steven. Slowbro Galar. It's got, yeah, 100 in both of the offenses. And if you compare Slowbro to Slowking, let's pull up those stats. Yeah, it is just the defense and special defense switched. So I don't think they could just slow kingify Slowbro Galar. They can't really just switch those offense stats. Switching the defense stats would just be really even more lame than Slowbro Slowking somehow, just because this is supposed to be a slightly more offensive version of those Pokemon. Actually, I said more offensive, but they have 100 in special attack, so it actually hits just as hard. Man, Slowbro Galar, they really did you wrong. Those stats are just so wrong. Anyway. I hope that it's something different. Like, maybe they just make it, like, absurdly fast for some reason. Maybe the shell bit onto, like, its foot, and it's, or, like, both of its feet, and then it just, like, jets around. Or something like that.
Yeah, what if it's just super fast instead? That'd be cool.
I'm hoping for something funny with it, because, like, if they just do the same thing as Slowbro Galar, it would be really lame. But anyway, yeah, there's not much else to say about Crown Tundra speculation. We did a lot of speculation in general, I think, this episode, man, just because there's still a lot of details left to come out. I don't think we're going to be getting the answer to all our questions soon. Some of them will come sooner than later. And of course, we'll talk about them when we get there, when we get those answers. That's at least something to look forward to, is that while we had a lot to talk about here, and like, this is all very exciting news, there's still more to come. There's still more things that we need to know before we're like ready to start Players Cup 2 and like all the different stages of it.
In the meantime, everyone, just keep preparing for the online competition coming up for Series 5. Whether that means you playing Series 6 online on the ladder, or playing Series 5 on Showdown, or just mentally preparing, not even needing the practice anymore. Just gear up. It's time.
Yep, time to get back into Pokemon, I guess.
And with that, I think we're going to close up our show here. And that is our Season 3 finale here. So again, thank you to all our guests who came on within the past year plus. And we're going to get to come back to all of you, the listeners, with season 4 of the show. Again, no change to you, but we'll be back, on a regular schedule. So, we'll see you next time. But, remember, you can send your comments, questions, and feedback to our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. You can tell your friends about this show. If they'd be interested in a show about competitive Pokemon, send them over here to the Hyper Voice. You can also find our show in a variety of different places. Some of the highlights there, more notable ones, are Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You can find us all there. Leave us a review to help us with visibility so that others can discover the show. And you can also find our show on Facebook and on Twitter at The Hyper Voice. Lastly, you can follow the two of us personally on Twitter as well. You can follow me at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at LexiconVGC.
Awesome. Thank you, the listener, so much for listening to our show, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to all of them, or all of our or just this season, or all of the seasons. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
And if this is your last episode, good riddance. Yeah, goodbye.
Stay tuned for more of the Hyper Voice.
Why did you phrase it that way? You just left it open for this is your last episode.
Did I say last? You said last.
No, you didn't, but the way you said it, this is your first episode, or this is your...
Oh, dear. Well,
all right. Well, I guess I gotta say that thing, right? Alola.